The following recording, New Jersey 2, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onorov, Barbara Somerville, and Jill McCullough.
Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory. So she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there, there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling, "Comma, Comma," which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Comma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her. But Sarah had a different idea. First, she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold on to Comma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. "I can't imagine paying so much, but Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure." The big Yankee fan in the family was Grandma. On Saturdays during baseball season, several times during the season, Grandma would take me to see the game. We would get up early, head into Newark. We would drive into Newark. We lived in Cranford. And get on the old Hudson Tubes, which is now the PATH train. And we would get off probably down by what is now the World Trade Center stop. And then we would get on to the A train going north all the way up into the Bronx, where we'd get off plenty early so that we could even stop for lunch. There was a wonderful old cafeteria, beautiful old cafeteria, where we would go before the ball game, and Grandma would get me a corned beef sandwich and a celery tonic. So that would be, then we would get to the Yankee Stadium so early that they would still be setting up for batting practice. So we would be there probably 2 hours before the game began. And then this is one of my favorite parts. After they finished all of the batting practice, they took the batting cage away, and then the maintenance crew would come out with the line machines, and they would put the new lines down from home plate to first base and third base, and then they'd bring out a mold that they would lay on the ground, a wood form that they would then put lime in to create the batter's box. So everything would be just perfect. The ground crew would come in, sweep the infield so that the dirt was perfect, and then the grass of the outfield would be perfect. Actually, one of the greatest moments would be first getting to the stadium, walking into that baseball stadium, up the ramps that would take us to our seats. We always had box seats on the first base side, and walking through the entranceway that would take you from the ramps out into the field. That first glimpse of this perfect space that was indoors and outdoors at the same time. And we would sit down, the old ushers would come with the mitts that they would put on their hand, and they would wipe the seat off, and Grandma would give them a tip, and we would sit down, watch the entire batting practice, wait for the game to begin. And then all of the excitement of sitting there with my grandmother watching the game, and she was the greatest fan. And it was just a treasure to be there with her. So that was one of the great treats. Grandma used to work in Newark. She worked for an upholsterer. A drapery maker. The drapery maker would create the designs, and she would fabricate the drapes. And I would go in with her on Saturday. Well, we didn't go to baseball games. And she worked in Newark. And it was a large space on the second floor of the upholstery and drapery building. The drapes would be made and fabricated on these very long tables. They were probably, well, they seemed to go on forever, but they were 20 or 25 foot long tables that they would lay the draperies out on. Grandma would give me some money to go downstairs to Woolworth to get a model airplane. And I would get a model airplane and some Duco cement, and I would sit next to her while she listened to the Metropolitan Opera on Saturday, the Texaco Metropolitan Opera broadcast.